Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Burning Question podcast here on Fantasy Football Scout, where myself and Andy hope to cover all of the hot topics in the FPL community, in the land of FPL, every single week. We have just got 3 weeks left, but before we get into FPL, very exciting day. We are back in our separate places, but Andy is in London today, so we had the joy of meeting up for the first time this morning. That was very nice. How are you doing?
Very good, my friend. Yes, we are live in London. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it together because we're just not tech savvy enough, but it's lovely to be in London. I'm here all week. I'm going to the Chelsea-Tottenham game tonight. So shout out to my captain, Heung-min Son. I hope I make it alive out of there. Unfortunately, I won't be going with you, but yeah, we met earlier in the day. Kind of, you know, talked for like an hour, and it was really, really nice to meet you, Harry. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a really nice time. And now we're here. We talked a little bit about FPL then, and we'll talk more about it now. But yes, how are you finding London? How are you finding London? Let's do the niceties first.
Yeah, this is my second time coming. I came last year, if you remember. And last year I had the pleasure of doing Sky Sports, meeting Pross. Like, it was a lovely time, right? Tomorrow I'm actually doing the in-studio Premier League show. So
are you
nervous for that? I am. I'm very nervous for that, actually.
Are you the host for it, or are you a guest but just in studio?
So this is a secret, but I'm co-hosting with Pross tomorrow, so I'm really excited for that.
That is nice.
Not sure who the video guy will be tomorrow, but it'll be cool. It'll be a cool experience. I think where was I yesterday? I went up north a little bit, and just going to be doing the touristy stuff tomorrow as well as today, so... Dude, nice. London's amazing. It's one of my favorite cities. The streets are so pretty. Like, everything's so... Because I used to live in New York.
If you go to the right places, it is.
It is. It is very pretty. And I think meeting you for the first time, Harry, like, I thought you'd be a lot taller because I knew you were tall, but, it was not as tall as I thought. So it was good to see you. Harry in person is amazing. So
it was nice. We had a nice time. Mm-hmm. We had a nice time. Went for a coffee and then headed back to talk some FPL with you all.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I just want to say the conversation was hilarious because it's like you meet someone you've been doing videos with for the year, and first thing you say is, "Oh, hey, how are you?" Talk a little about life, and then literally half the conversation was, "Yeah, what should I do without Bruno? Like, what should I do with Son?"
Yeah, we started to talk about FPL. We did talk about other stuff, but that was
It was fun. It was fun.
Right, let's have a look at this week then. Quick scores on the door so far. Do you want to run through how you're getting on, Captain Son? Going to the game tonight. You must be pleased with it so far. Of course, he's outscored Cole Palmer.
Yeah, so I think just from an individual perspective, the last two seasons, I kind of was always in this position, not as high as where you are rank wise, but, you know, very close to the top 10K. And for some reason, I went very differential, like sort of too risky the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's okay to like play it safer, but I just had a gut feeling about, I think I can match Suns, even though he's out of form, even though Spurs look bad. Like, I felt like there's an opportunity here for Sun. I didn't realize the Palmer EOB, like 180% at my rank. So
big.
Certainly it was scary going into the game, but now I have a slight advantage. I don't think it moved the needle too much for me because Saka just did so well, you know?
Yeah.
But the exciting thing is, like, it's kind of template, but it's not really template of a wild card because of my captaincy. Plus, I went against the big boy in Bruno. I think I got lucky there without him coming off with points. I mean, two bonus without any, you know, attacking, you know, returns is crazy. But I feel excited about Richarlison. I'm praying to God he starts today. I think he might start. But it's a certainly exciting pick. Hopefully he comes through.
Yeah, I'd say I expect Richarlison to start now. It's not a given. He could play Brennan Johnson on the left and Kulusevski out on the right. But I think Spurs need it. I think Spurs need to try something a little bit different this week. Whether this is the week or not for it, I don't know. But I think Spurs need Richarlison back into it. And then, you get Haaland's 5 off the bench. So you're looking quite nice. 54 points. Puts you on a small green arrow. A reasonable green arrow must be.
I'm not sure exactly right now. I haven't checked, but
moderate.
We'll see.
I'm on 46 with 5 to come off the bench, so 51. It puts me on a small red arrow. Basically, the only difference is I went Bruno over your Richarlison, and then I've got Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer captain tonight. I've also got Vicario over Petrovic. So, yeah, it's not very much different. It feels like tonight's going to be quite a deciding factor on how wildcards went this week, because a lot of us went on at least 5 double game week players, it feels like. Both of us have got, you've got 6, I've got 5. It feels like what happens tonight will be really big. Like, the only thing is the Chelsea defence is quite high owned and I don't have any of them. So if Spurs were to fail to score tonight, then that would damage me quite a lot. But I don't particularly see that happening. I don't see many clean sheets any clean sheets in the game tonight.
Yeah. I think I'm where am I ranked wise? Like 25-ish K.
Yeah.
So I think I should be maybe just under 20 points from the top 10K. I'm not sure exactly. I haven't checked. But my assumption is there. So let's say you're 50K. I would assume you're maybe double of how many points I am to the top 10K. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
that kind of means, like, you know, if your aim is to, I mean, I don't know if rank is your aim, but if your aim is to really push at the end, you need to start taking some risks. So this is why I decided, like, all right, even though I would love to have Bruno, there's only 5 spots in the midfield. I feel good about Gordon. I do have like 2.5 million in the bank, so it's crazy amount of money. But yeah, that's why I went for this Richarlison pick, just to like kind of have at least one differential, you know?
Yeah. Are you going to be looking for, we're going to talk about a lot of teams today. Are you going to be looking to take more risks? I suppose it depends how tonight goes, right? Because if tonight goes really well, you might end up being only 10 points outside and then you don't need to take risks. But I suppose we can talk about that maybe more next week. But are you open to taking risks to get that top 10K, or are you also worried about falling down a little bit?
Yeah, I don't care about falling down. I definitely, I want to go for it because I think like 20K, 30K, 50K, it's the same stuff for me, you know? And I just like had a goal of getting top 10K, so why not, right?
I
do have time, Harry, because I think gaming 36, I'm okay to take that bet against Crystal Palace and Manchester United. We'll deep dive into United a little bit. So I think I have time to make a decision 37. You know, maybe we might not need many transfers all the way to 38. So wildcarding late without the Shar injury, that's the advantage that I do believe I have right now.
If Ederson's not injured.
Yeah, but he's not really injured, right? Like, there's nothing you can do about it, I feel. I mean, people are talking about it. I feel like he's in the training photos. Like, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to go for Ortega and then Ederson starts? I don't think so, right?
No. I mean, in my boat, I'd go Petrovic.
Right, because I have
a spare Chelsea slot. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, in your situation, you have a goalkeeper this week anyway, so you don't really need to worry about it. My backup exactly. in Vicario is away at Liverpool, which doesn't sit quite as right with me as maybe Petrovic would. Petrovic would. So that's the only thing. Yeah. But
it's a tough one for my situation because, like, let's say in game week, let's say I roll a transfer this week, or I'm assuming most wildcarders this week will roll.
Yeah.
And you have two free transfers. Like, to get rid of Ederson, you're going to need another Man City player somewhere else, though. So that's two free transfers.
Yeah.
And then game week 38, you're going to have one, and you need two in game week 38, I believe. Right. Like,
I think the issue is, I think naturally, normally we'd want, two, but so many of our front eight is good. Like, in the final week of the season, like if I had to mm-hmm. play Gordon and Isak away at Brentford on the final day, like that's fine. I'm going to have to bench someone anyway. So, and like, to be honest, most of our defenses and goalkeeper, none of us are using a transfer there on the final day. If one of my defenders gets benched on the final day, I'll just accept it and I'll just roll with it as it is. So I'm using two free transfers on my front eight and I'm already having to bench one.
Yeah.
I'll use a transfer to bring in probably Kai Havertz if the title goes the final day. And my plan originally was to roll and use a second transfer. But I do kind of look at it and I'm going to end up selling like Bruno away at Brighton on the final day. And there's not loads of players that you want to punt on unless you can get to Salah. Like Arsenal will have triple up, Chelsea triple up, City triple up and Spurs triple up. Outside of that, it's Liverpool at home to Wolves. But the only one you can get to there is Luis Diaz, unless you have Salah money. So I don't look at it and think there's loads of one-week punts I actually need on the final day, apart from buying an Arsenal option. So
fair.
I was always under the impression that I would roll a transfer to get two for game week 38, but I don't think it's as needed now as I thought it was.
Fair. We still have some time to get there. So
yeah. Cool. So before we talk about some teams, let's have a look at just the attack and the defense, how we're looking. So what we've got here is basically throughout the season, the XG conceded to start with of the Premier League teams. So basically you've got the best defenses at the top and the worst defenses at the bottom. Of course, Arsenal, Manchester City, interestingly, Nottingham Forest, Liverpool, Crystal Palace are the best defenses in the league at the moment. Then down at the bottom, I think is where the key thing for me, Spurs, Newcastle and Manchester United and Chelsea, a lot of the defenders we own are in the bottom half for defences, right? So Newcastle, Spurs, Chelsea, all sort of 1.6. Then Manchester United, 1.9. They're all the defenders we bought on wildcard.
First of all, sorry, Harry. Guys, just quick plug. Please do subscribe to the FF Scout channel and do hit the like button because I also need to give credit where credit's due. This is by at @FPL_Chase. So on Twitter, @FPL_Chase, like awesome guy, right? And awesome charts. So shout out to Chase for providing such great charts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You're right. I don't think there's anything too surprising here. You know, obviously we saw Arsenal, Man City, we don't need to talk about. They're just consistently the best defenses. We're nitpicking the doubling teams, by the way. Newcastle, you can see like they have that super, super red 2.2, 2.1 in February, March for good reason. They had no clean sheets then. And then recently they've had a ton of home games and lots of clean sheets. So the main question when it comes to the Newcastle defense is like, how are they going to perform in these away fixtures? And part of me thinks like stat wise, they're not going to do well because that's sort of the narrative that's been formed. But also a part of me thinks like, you know, they're good enough of a team that like this data might not matter for 3-4 games, right? Like they might end up doing really well away as well, which is another question we have to tackle in terms of Gordon and Isak. Tottenham, you know, like very plateaued stats, I would say. They're just not a good defensive team. They're going to allow chances and very rare clean sheets, I would say. But the one that's really surprising is way at the bottom, right? Manchester United. The defense is like continuously getting worse throughout the season. And, the point I want to make is like, you don't need to fixate so much on Maguire versus Dalot, or, you know, that's a different conversation, right? Because you can argue one is more threatening attack wise, but defense wise, we're shooting in the dark here when it comes to United assets. So that's the only one that's alarming to me in terms of if you want to bet against the United defense in double game week 37, sure. But the alternative question to that is like, where are you going to go? There's like nowhere to go defense wise. So that's my thoughts here.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at Diogo Dalot in my team and thinking you're going to score a maximum of 2 points in every game between now and the end of the season. I'm wondering what I could do with him going into game week 37. But yeah, it does look like, that United one particularly. Part of the reason we bought Dalot and the United guys was that Burnley at home fixture. And we got close to a clean sheet. They shouldn't have kept one and they didn't. But that was the game that made it. If we'd have gone in just buying this week, maybe we wouldn't have done it, because Palace away, Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton away, maybe we wouldn't have done it. But the double plus that Burnley at home fixture made it appealing enough. But yeah, I agree. That United number, like right down at the bottom, is very concerning. I'm not playing my Man United defender this week, and I'm glad
Let's go team by team here, right? Let's go team by team, player by player, sort of for the doubling team. So United first, who are the usual suspects? It's Dalot and Maguire, would you say? Anyone else?
And Onana.
Sure, Onana, right?
Yeah.
They have Crystal Palace away. Not easy. Like, Crystal Palace is in form. You know, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think the double is Arsenal-Newcastle, if I'm correct.
Yes. Both at home.
Right, exactly. Okay, so both at home, that you have that advantage there. But come on, it's Arsenal fighting for the title.
Yeah.
You know, Newcastle away, you can form a narrative there. But definitely not easy game on paper. And then it's that last game where it's Brighton, weak Brighton, but data-wise, United are second at the bottom in terms of rolling XGC, right? So do you see any clean sheets here? Question mark.
No.
One thing that I would say about attacking threat in terms of Maguire versus Dalot, Dalot does have 2 assists in the last 6 games, and Maguire does have 2 goals in his last 3 games in all competition. So, but United have 0 clean sheets in like the last 5, 6, 7 games. So it's... if you're not on a wild card and you don't have United defense, this is something you can take a bet against, I feel, because, I wouldn't worry too much about that double in 37. Like, you're looking at potential 3-4 pointer here.
If you're not on wild card, you can take a bet against pretty much any defender that isn't Manchester City and Arsenal. There's no defense that I'm scared of not owning at the moment. The only one, the one I don't own is Chelsea, and the fixtures are not bad. So maybe I need to think about that, but outside of that, there's just no one that I'm scared of not owning, given that I have double Arsenal. I will be scared of not owning Man City if Ederson is injured. That's the other one. But outside of that, I'm not scared of it at all. The issue is it's not so much protecting yourself. It's loads of people have the bench boost left and now there's loads of injuries. So it's where do you go from those injured players? If you've got Arsenal and City already, who on earth are we buying for those injured defenders? That's probably it. But I agree, I wouldn't buy United. I just wouldn't. Like, I'd rather buy a single game week defender than a United defender.
I mean, it's a great point, right? Like, that's the game where we play. It's like, that's the thing about Jackson. Like, people are like saying, oh, you're out of your mind. Like, yeah, Jackson's like, not the greatest attacker. I complain about him all the time, but where are you going to go, right? That's sort of the permutations, combinations of FPL. So
I agree. Let's have a quick look at the attack before we discuss the teams. Interestingly, there are a few things that change a little bit here. City, the best attack in the league. We're not surprised there. Liverpool next. Chelsea are in third. So when we talk about Jackson, this is why. Because he does play for a team that are creating, the third most chances in the league at the moment. Arsenal then come in fourth, and we'll talk about some of their attackers in a moment, and Spurs, right? So although a lot of the double game week teams don't have good defences, a lot of them do have good attacks, which is why on wildcard, the front eight was pretty easy to pick, but the defence was kind of just fill it up with as many fixtures as you can get, right?
Yeah, I mean... Liverpool attacking is getting better. City finding form. You know, you want to be doubled up there potentially. KDB instead of Foden, for example. Chelsea, I mean, the fixtures are there, the double game week's there, the attack's been pretty good. Just that's the case with Jackson. Like, you just have to hope that these XG stats fall through and we get lucky with points. Like, I get it, man. Like, I get it, he's a frustrating pick, but, you know, it makes sense to go there.
The two lower down here, Man United and Brighton. What's happened to Brighton? The drop-off we're seeing in their data and their performances from 2.1, which was almost the best attack in the league at the start of the season, to now being the third or the joint second worst attack in the league. That's a crazy drop-off.
Yeah. I like how I think we should talk about United and Brighton. And first of all, Brighton lost McAllister. Let's not forget that. Like, he was such a key cognate to that attack, sort of the middle guy. And who are their senior players right now? It's
They're Gross full of injuries, right? Gross and João Pedro and Welbeck. João Pedro.
Yeah, and like, how old is Welbeck? You know, I love him as a player. I respect him as a player, but he's like super old now, you know? And yeah, I mean, they're just, it's a season to forget. I think they just haven't made enough signings. They've lost some key players.
Yeah, I think it's the injuries. I mean, as Beardy's saying, they lost Caicedo as well.
Caicedo as well. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Was Colwell there last year or was that 2 years ago?
I don't remember.
I think he was there last year. No, Mitoma. Yeah, it's the injuries have hit them crazy.
Mitoma,
hard.
There you go. There you go. We forgot about
Solly
Mitoma.
March. He's played one game, I think. Or he got injured in preseason. So, yeah, I mean, they've been hit hard, but they are definitely stronger voids. How do you feel on the Manchester United attack?
Yeah, also they're playing for nothing. But before we go there, João Pedro as an option at all?
No. I'd rather, really? There are single game week options who we'll talk about that I'd prefer to buy over João Pedro.
But if you need KDB, like if you insist on getting KDB, you might need the funds there.
I'd buy both of Carlton Morris and Chris Wood before I bought João Pedro.
João Pedro.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But he has a double, man.
He does, but are you sure he's going to start every game? No.
Yeah, also, Morris going to start ahead of him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they give kids a go because they're done, right?
No chance. He'll start.
Also, Morris and Chris Wood both have crazy amounts to play for.
That is true. They have a very important game, I believe, in 37, right? So,
I mean, the last three games for Nottingham Forest now, we're getting off topic, but the last three games for Forest are Sheffield United away, Chelsea at home, Burnley away. And for Luton, they have Everton at home, West Ham away, Fulham at home. I would buy Carlton Morris and Chris Wood before I even thought about buying João Pedro now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not preaching for João Pedro. I'm just saying, like, he's there as another option. I don't know. Yeah, but I get it. They're done.
Yeah.
United, I think this is the big one that I need your objective opinion on, because according to these rolling charts, XGC is really bad. XG is also really bad. They haven't been able to find goals. But here's the thing, right? FPL does not necessarily mean you have to look at team stats all the time, right? Because if the finishing was better and Bruno was getting it, like imagine Bruno at Man City, he would be one of the best FPL assets in the game, right? And I'm at a crossroads here, right? Like, because I want him in my team, but I don't have space in my team. I went for a Charlison. I could get him back in my team if I really wanted to. But the only option that I believe in that attack is Bruno, maybe Garnacho, but I don't think funds is a problem. So why not Bruno, you know?
Yeah, I think Bruno is it. I think Garnacho is still a good pick. I don't quite know what's going on with Hoyland at the moment. For their number nine to be playing 60, 70 minutes and getting hauled off for someone who doesn't play in his position is very, very concerning. He's not getting the service at all, whether he's not in the right positions for the service or what exactly it is. But there's no way you buy Hoyland over Jackson at the moment, do you? Like, looking at the data, looking at the performances, looking at the fixtures, there's just no way. The only reason people went Hoyland was he got that late goal against Sheffield United when they won 4-2. If that goal hadn't have gone in, no one would buy him, and now he's back to where he was before. So yeah, I agree on United. It's Bruno. Bruno's the only one, if you didn't own, that I would be looking to buy. Garnacho maybe if you need a cheaper option, but outside of that, I don't think attack or defense wise you need any of them.
Yeah, like, is Hoyland a significantly better finisher than Jackson? I mean, maybe, but let's say not really. Is he? Okay, let me rephrase it.
He probably is, but he's not getting near the level of chances.
Exactly. Is he a significantly better striker than Jackson? Let's put a question mark there. Then who's getting more chances? Definitely Jackson. Have you looked at the last game? Like, the guy barely touched the ball, you know? So it's
And although Jackson, you know, he blanked, he scored an offside goal, which was pretty marginal. And he had a header which hit the post. It's very close to a haul. And we say that about Darwin all the time, right? He's very close to the haul. But he is. He's going to get it eventually. Like, there'll be one game between now and the end of the season where things tick for him, I think.
You know what this goes to show, Harry? It just, like, football and the professional top five league market, a bona fide number nine that can get you 20-plus goals is such a rare asset in the market. Like, that's why you go back to, like, that, you know, Van Persie, Cristiano, like, all these, like, legendary strikers.
Yeah.
Like, you win games by scoring goals. And the Premier League has very few bona fide 20-plus goal strikers in the league now. That's how rare it is, you know? Unless you play, like, Man City and you just have 8 attacking threats every game.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why I want Chelsea to buy Ivan Toney big time this summer, because he's a 20-goal a season. Now, one club who does have 20-goal a season strikers and probably has two of them, if they could both stay fit, is the team at the top of the fixture ticker between now and the end of the season in Newcastle. Burnley away, Brighton at home, United away, Brentford away. Arguably the best fixtures between now and the end of the season. Isaac on absolute form and pretty much in everyone's teams. We're going to talk a lot about potential differentials in that third forward spot. And I think there's a reason to look at Callum Wilson in that third forward spot. I think you're going to understand he's probably going to start one game between now and the end of the season. But, you know, you get to 70 minutes and they bring on Harvey Barnes and Callum Wilson and they just want to score more goals. Like, I don't think him playing 20 minutes off the bench is necessarily that bad compared to some of the others. So I quite like it as a third Newcastle, and not many people will go there, but I don't mind it.
That game over the weekend, they could have got 10 goals at the end there. Like, they were just attack. And they were trying to feed Isaac to get that hat trick.
Yeah.
Let's be clear here. Like, no doubt about it. If you're going to go for a Newcastle attacker, you go for Isak first. That you agree there, right?
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So the argument here, or the point we're trying to make, is like, are you spicy enough to double up in the attack besides Gordon? So it'd be Isak plus Wilson. What's amazing about Wilson is he's injury prone. Half the time he's gone, but every single time he comes back, he scores goals. It's insane. Yeah. Like, part of me thinks, like, you guys should, he's, you know, you guys should take him to the Euros. I mean, there's limited spots to be that, like, 75th, 80th minute, come on and get you a goal. You know, that's how good Callum Wilson is. Like, if he was fully fit throughout the year, they would even, like, they would even consider putting Callum Wilson up top and Isak on the left just to cater to, like, having him playing. That's how I believe in him, right?
Yeah.
But he is that injury prone, and I don't mind that move at all. It's just, you know, you're sacrificing Jackson for that, so that's the bet you're taking.
Yeah, and it's a differential, right? Betting against Jackson is not the worst thing. Betting against him missing chances is not the end of the world, and he could definitely do so. Outside of that, Gordon, of course, is the one that's very popular. He, of course, is. I think he's only returned once away from home this season, or twice, once or twice. It's no more than two. And three of the last four are away from home. That is somewhere you could gamble against.
Yeah.
If you want to take a gamble, there's so many midfielders at the moment who are differentials. Gordon is very highly owned and is only going to get higher. If you are chasing, betting against Gordon with three away games is something you can definitely do. It's risky, of course, but...
I think you make that decision after 36 because you get an away game against Burnley. If you own him, you could consider, you know, going spicy in 37. If you don't own him, like, see how they play away. Maybe you can form your own objective thinking because they're playing amazing right now. Let's get that clear. They're playing amazing, but it's all at home. Yeah. Stats don't look good for away. So let's see how this Burnley game goes. They might destroy Burnley away, you know?
Yeah, I hope not. He's currently on my bench. we'll talk about that. It's a close benching decision for a lot of people this week. Cool. Next up is Chelsea. I think Palmer, we don't need to discuss Palmer, really. We've discussed Madueke. We've discussed Jackson. The other one that is putting their hat in the ring is Madueke. He's looked really good. He's a very good one-on-one specialist, which Chelsea do need a little bit of at the moment. And he plays West Ham at home, Forest away, Brighton away, Bournemouth at home. Poch was asked about him in his press conference, and he spoke highly of him. I expect he starts a minimum of three of the last four. Again, that fifth forward spot, that fifth mid spot, there are differentials there if you want to gamble against either Bruno or Gordon or even Son.
No, not Son, Richarlison. Son is
Foden and Palmer are locked.
Son is locked too, bro. What are you talking about here? Go ahead.
I almost had you there.
Go ahead.
To be honest, I don't think Son is... I don't think anyone will be selling Son. But if you don't own him, I'm not sure he's 100% a buy.
By the way, guys, like we're walking around this morning and, you know, it's like, hey, Harry, how you doing, man? Like, oh, how's life? Yeah, life is good. Start talking about FPL. And the guy, Harry, just starts shitting on Son in front of me, saying he's playing awful.
He is.
And then he's saying Madueke is some, like, God-given...
No.
I was like, get the hell out of here. How are you going to have Madueke as your fifth midfielder? There's not enough spots, but... yeah, there's no way anyone can sell Son with the double in 37.
No, we'll talk about Spurs in a moment. But I do think Noni Madueke is worth the differential shout if you've got that spot, right? If you're chasing, right? And we're not in the position where we're going to be buying him. But if you're chasing, going for someone like that has the potential to do really well. A lot of the differentials are in midfield. That is the issue. But I quite like him. He's very cheap. So basically anyone can get to him as well.
Yeah. If you, I feel like if you're going to go Madueke, right, you've got West Ham defensively viable week. Mm-hmm. You've got Nottingham, Brighton, Bournemouth last three games. So fair play there. They've got a lot of injuries. So you're hoping he starts all four.
Yeah.
But you need to combine him. Like, so you're going against that fifth midfield spot, which is Gordon, Bruno, guys like Richarlison. Maybe I'm missing a few. So you're putting him there. But you kind of combine him because of his price point with, you even might consider getting rid of Foden for KDB, for example. Like, You go KDB as your fourth, Madueke as your fifth. Is that too much?
Yeah,
you love Foden, that's why.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm not going to sit here and sort of humour the Foden versus De Bruyne chat. I like De Bruyne a lot as an addition, and I think a triple City attack is another way you can go big differential for the final 3 weeks, but you're not selling Foden. Like, I just don't see going against Foden is a good idea. There are places you can take gambles, and Foden is not one of them for me.
Yeah, I just don't, it doesn't excite me as a differential, Madueke as the fifth spot. Mm. But I get it.
Fine. But is someone like we'll get to Spurs in a minute. Is someone like Richarlison more exciting?
Yeah, for sure, dude. All right. Maybe I'm being biased here, but
I feel like we should have a little bet on who scores more points between now and the end of the season, Richarlison or Madueke.
Dude, I have Richarlison in my team. I'm definitely going to say Richarlison.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Am I crazy here
let's see what the chat thinks. Who do you think scores more points, excluding the game tonight, scores more points between now and the end of the season, Richarlison or Madueke? Let's see what people say. Anyway, while people are answering that, let's talk about Manchester City. Of course, Foden and Haaland for me are locks. Like, they are not the players to be betting against, and they are great buys if you don't own them now. Foden should be back. He has an illness, but I think he was in training yesterday. So that's all good. How do you feel about De Bruyne as a differential? You would be gambling over a Son or a Bruno, though. That is the spot. Spot. One of those two has to go.
Yeah. It's certainly on my mind, because if I needed two free transfers to get to KDB, I wouldn't do it, but I can get there in one move, but it'd be losing either Foden or Son. The last game he didn't play with Haaland and Foden, so you know, he probably had more routes to points. He's not really a goal threat. I mean, he can always be a goal threat, but he's more of the, I mean, he's a little bit deeper than I want him to be as a 10 point something FPL asset. But it's a different season where there is Foden, who is, when he plays, seems like the most attacking, best FPL asset from Man City. So in previous seasons, like, that outstanding Foden didn't exist because you had options, whether it be, you know, Mahrez or whoever the other attackers were, Grealish even. So I still think Foden, without the price point being a factor, slightly edges it, or if not... Mm-hmm. You know, really edges it over KDB. So it's one of those differentials that, you know, you really have to believe in or you're trying to chase that you go for. The only other scenario would be doubling up on them, but you're losing a Man City defender, which could be essential in Game Week 37. And, you know,
it's two away games. Again, we're talking differentials here, right? If you want to gamble against the City defense with two away games in the double, and the fact that they shouldn't have kept a clean sheet against Forest and go triple attack, it's quite a lot of maneuvering to get there. But I can't say no to anyone wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I can't say no to anyone wanting to do that. Defensively, would it be Gvardiol? I mean, we're doing recency bias because he scored points at the weekend. But if you watch those games, he's playing so advanced.
Is Walker going to start all the rest of the games, would you say?
Well, this is the whole question. Are any of them going to start all of the games between now and the end of the season?
Okay, if it's vague between the two, then I don't mind Walker either. You know, he did have two assists in Game Week 34 in one game.
I think he got bonus points this weekend as well, didn't he?
Yeah. It's different because Gvardiol is not he's not a classic center back. He's like a Man City center back. So what that means is that...
He's playing left wing at the weekend.
He's playing left wing. He's playing left wing at times. And what they do is kind of like... a lot of times they'll create space for him on the left. Like they'll move, shift the entire team to the right, sort of concentrate on the right, put him on an island on the left. Yeah. Kind of like what Robertson was a long time ago. So he's got a lot of routes to points. I will give you that for sure. Mm.
I'd probably go him over Walker, but it's not impossible that Ake plays a game at left back. And and Diaz and Stones or Diaz and Akanji play at centre back. Gvardiol feels slightly less nailed than Walker.
Yeah. But
he's got more upside.
If you had to pick,
I'd still go Gvardiol.
Yeah.
It's close though. Next down, we have Manchester United. We've spoken quite a lot about these, so we don't probably need to do these in much more detail. Apart from, I think we said Fernandes is the one to go with. No one else is a fantastic pick. The others are fine picks if you need a doubler, basically.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't buy Hoyland for love nor money, basically.
Yeah. I think we spoke enough about United.
We've done Brighton as well. So the only team left is Spurs. So before I let you go off and talk about Spurs and talk about Son.
I'm not.
And it's that Son rant time. I can feel it coming. There is going to be after what I've got to say. I think Son is a very easy hold, but he hasn't been at it like recently. Yeah. He's not been nearly as good as he was before. I think they need Richarlison back in the team.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't score that penalty and he blanks again, what are we saying about Son as an asset? Yes, he's on penalties and that's part of why you own him. And he's got Burnley at home, Sheffield United away as part of the last three game weeks. But if you don't own him, again, that is somewhere I would gamble against if you need a differential.
All right. So let me break it down, right? Let me give you a very objective point of view, because I agree. His form is not there. He's not looking great. He's sulking a little bit. Also, the team's not playing well. I think at the beginning of the season in the summer when Kane left, the big worry was, who's going to be physically, fighting in the middle? I know Kane dropped deep to, support him, but he also was a physical presence in the middle, right? He's really good in the air and... there was none of that existent. So that was a big concern. So how Ainge combated that in the beginning of the season is you had Poro and Udogi make these inside runs, basically add, two more bodies. They would try to pull the defenders towards the central of the pitch, if you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then you have guys like Kulusevski, Johnson Werner on the left that would pull out wide, get the ball, bring defenders out wide. You make the inside run, a Poro goes in, pull another defender wide. That's how you created space when Son played up top. That was their pattern of play first half of the season. They got a lot of goals that way. Udogi, Poro got a ton of assists that way. What's happened is teams now know this. So when they do this and Son plays up top, if you look at this Arsenal game, of course, White has to come out once in a while, right? You can't just leave him all alone on the wings. But they are not pulling out wide as they used to be. They're really clustered in the middle, just creating zero space for Son. So actually, in that game against Arsenal, when their most attacking threat plays came when Romero was playing two top with Son. Are you sort of following me?
Why was he playing at striker?
Because they're White. Refused to go out wide. He was in the middle. Ben Davies came in, tried to make these runs. Arsenal didn't fall for it. So how on earth is Son going to be effective with his back against the defense and him being no physical presence and really bad in the air? You need a Romero, right? You look back at the history of Spurs, Son played best when he was with Llorente that Champions League season when Kane was injured. And when Kane was there, he played his best, right? So I think you're right. I don't have high hopes for Spurs figuring it out for the last remainder of the games, but they still have a Europa spot, potentially Champions League spot to play for. So that's there. But I think Ainge realizes he's going to have to play Richarlison up top.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only blessing in disguise here, or the silver lining in the clouds, right? Maybe that solves the puzzle, but I'm not very bullish on it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. If you've got, you kind of hold the assets that you've got, but I'm not sure I'd massively be wanting to buy anyone new at the moment with Spurs if I didn't own them. I'm not sure there's one player that I look at that if I didn't own that I'd really want to buy. I mean, I would because they've got a double, so by default, there would be a team that I'd look at, but I don't love it. The form is not there.
I mean, we have one game. We have this game tonight to super excited to be there, by the way, and to assess.
Yeah.
Cool. Defense? Poro? Romero?
That's it. I mean, take your pick and hope they score a goal because they're not going to keep any clean sheets.
Yeah, you want to know an interesting stat, Harry? How many goals do you think Romero has this season?
5.
He's 8 goals this season.
Does he?
Insanity.
See, on my game week 29 free hit, I almost went Romero over Poro. I kind of wish I did now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like defensively, like you'd keep max one clean sheet between now and the end of the season. And this is where we're going to start talking about Arsenal. Are there any defenders that you'd rather buy than an Arsenal defender between now and the end of the season, including all the doublers? The only team I look at that I'd prefer is maybe City. Outside of that, I'd buy an Arsenal defender before I bought any player with a double if you could afford it.
Yeah, it's a good question because I started thinking about my 37 bench boost and part of me is sad that I'll have 2 singlers in White and Gabriel on the bench.
Yeah.
But the other alternative world, like, who do you go for? You know, there's there's none. So, by the way, Arsenal. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just looking at my transfers. I could do Dalot to Saliba and have triple Arsenal defense, which doesn't feel quite right, but.
Yeah, but it's too risky, man.
Yeah.
You're betting on one game.
I don't like the defenders from any of these teams particularly. Yeah. Apart from, like, that's why we look at Arsenal. And then we talk about the midfielders as well. If you're looking to go against the crowd, no one's buying Arsenal midfielders this week, despite how good they've been. And no one will buy them next week either.
Yeah. Sorry, let me correct myself. Romero has 5 goals. Yeah, Poro has 8 assists.
8 assists. That's, I was going to say, what it was. I'm sure, because I looked in game week 29, and I'm sure it was the same. It was 4 goals against 8 assists.
Yeah. Apologies. But on the topic, Arsenal number one defense, you know who number two is? Everton. Number three is Man City. So this is not best defense, the most clean sheets kept this season. So. Yeah.
The only thing with Everton is you don't quite know, like, now that they're up, like, exactly. But the only thing with that is, every spot in the Premier League is worth about £3 million. And with a team that are in financial trouble.
Interesting.
Every spot in the Premier League is worth an extra £3 million for the club. So there might not be the foot off the gas that maybe we expected to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Everton defense is good. Second most clean sheets, 4th in the league for goals conceded. So plus 0 goals in the last couple of games. So they're legit. Mm.
Cool. I mean, we wanted to keep this episode within reasonable time. So to talk about some of the other single game week players, I'm going to put you on the spot and I'm happy to go first because I've thought about this. But if you're looking at the teams with a single across defender, midfielder and forwards, who would your big picks be in each position? Defensively, I think Arsenal, of course, is there, but most people already own Arsenal. I quite like Reguilon, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, and Newcastle at home, if you're looking there. In midfield, I think it definitely is Arsenal. I think it is a Kai Havertz or a Bukayo Saka. And then up front, I'd probably go Chris Wood. We've seen the amount of chances that he's getting. I really like that as a differential as your third forward if you want to back against a Jackson or something like that. There definitely are good single game week players who will outscore some of the doublers. There will be those players. There always are. It's just less easy to predict who they're going to be. But how do you feel on the doublers? Is there anyone else out of those names that you like the look of?
Yeah, I think the only ones defensive wise would be that interest me is an Everton defender or a Reguilon from Brentford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fulham, Bournemouth, Newcastle, pretty good. You know, he's had 3 assists in however many games recently. So. Mm-hmm. You know, when he starts, he's solid. And then up top, it would be Chris Wood. I agree. You've got the 36 and 38 fixture, which is excellent.
And even though he... Fun fact for you, Chelsea have never beaten Forest in the Premier League since they've been promoted.
Nice fun fact.
Him or Morris. Or like Brentford as well. Like, but you're probably not buying Tony, but like a Wiesa yeah. could be a shout. But yeah, there definitely are ways to gamble. And like,
I haven't thought about it enough, but Eric makes a good question. Like, if you had to go for Wood versus Morris, who's your pick there?
Wood.
Yeah.
Because Morris has been finishing the chances, but Wood, the amount of chances Forrest are creating at the moment, I think the whole potential is much more there for Chris Wood than it is for Morris.
Okay, fair.
Mateta, yeah, but just if they're, you know, Elise's in one game, Eze's out, then the other way around, it does just hamper them. They're just not as good when they don't all start.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to go for a singular here, you have to go for the fixture and league state. And
yeah,
four stands out here.
Mm. Yeah. Would, definitely. Cool. So,
Watkins?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the thing is with Watkins is he's expensive. So if you're buying Watkins, you could afford any forward out, basically any other forward.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at a cheaper one.
I mean, honestly, like all these single options, you know, I get it. But I would even put Callum Wilson ahead of them.
Yeah, I think I probably personally. Would. If you could afford, would you buy Watkins or Callum Wilson?
I mean, I always go for the doubler, so. Plus, Wilson just looked really good in the last 30 minutes. Mm. It's just whether he starts or not, you know?
If I said he gets one start between now and the end of the season.
I would not go for him then.
You'd go Watkins?
Yeah, yeah. I need 3 out of 4 starts.
Mm. Well, you're not getting that for sure. You'd get max two. Max two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Cool. Let's have a look at our teams for next week. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I need to pull it out. I mean,
for the podcast listeners, while Andy pulls his team up, he's got Edison in goal, White, Gabriel, Byrne, Palmer, Foden, Gordon, Son, Jackson, Haaland, Isak, with Richarlison, Porro, and Maguire on the bench, along with Petrovic.
Yeah, I mean, very straightforward here. Nice to have the double Arsenal defense. I'm just going to start Edison and hope he starts. If he doesn't, at least we'll have more information, you know, to base it on next week. And it's not like he's going to come off the bench or very little chance he does. I think I got really lucky, I'll be honest, with the Burn decision. You know, I could have easily gone Sharp plus Dalot, but I just felt like there was not much of a difference there. And I thought in my head that I might need the prices, the money. Yeah. But it kind of ends up being that I don't really need the money, you know?
Yeah.
Having Richarlison makes the benching pecking order much easier than the other wildcard 35ers. So,
yeah,
Richarlison first off the bench and pretty straightforward here. Captaincy on Haaland. If I feel spicy, I might do it on either Foden or Palmer. But yeah, I think this is it.
Nice. Things are a little bit more confusing for me. I've got very similar lineup. Edison. The issue is if Edison isn't going to play, I have Vicario as my second keeper away at Liverpool. Now, it does sound like Edison's back in training, but so I'll probably just take the risk that he does start. If he's ruled out, then I have a choice to make. I could probably go to Petrovic. It's probably where I'd look. Petrovic in for Edison, and then I'd probably do Dalot to a City defender next week and have the same sort of defenders, but in a different position effectively. If Edison's going to be fine, I'll probably roll. The only thing I wonder about is Dalot to a Chelsea defender this week and bench Burn away at Burnley, particularly if Shah's out, which we probably won't know because Eddie Howe's never particularly helpful. That's the only thing I look at and wonder if I should be doing because it benefits me this week. I think the Chelsea defense is better next week than the United one, and it's beneficial on the final day.
Okay. I thought we were just looking at singularly at this game week.
I'll probably roll.
Yeah.
But because I don't think any Chelsea defender will necessarily start all four.
Mm.
Unless we hear bad news on Chilwell's injury, in which case I could buy Cucurella. But even that doesn't fill me with loads of confidence. So I'll probably roll.
I think in your position, I would not do that personally. Mm. I think the big question for you is it's not so much about the defense.
It's the bench.
Who are you going to bench?
So on this graphic, I've got Jackson benched, Gordon starting. I think in my team at the moment, it's the other way around. I have honestly no idea.
It's really tough. It's really tough.
If the deadline was right now, I'd bench Gordon. But that doesn't feel right.
Yeah. I mean, like Gordon versus Isak, who you just start?
Isak,
first
definitely.
Question. Okay, Isak, so the benching members here would be Gordon, Jackson, Bruno maybe?
You're going to hate me, but there's four. It's Bruno, Son, Gordon, or Jackson.
Okay, I mean, fair. Objectively fair. Like, so what's your order here?
I don't think it'll be Bruno.
Okay.
Plays Monday night, and he's so involved for United at the moment. I just can't bench him. He's so involved. And if he'd have got any of those returns, which he should have got last weekend, we wouldn't be benching him. Son, Gordon, or Jackson.
Okay.
Gordon's away form versus Jackson's ability to not finish chances is basically where I'm at.
Yeah, look, I think I'm seriously trying to imagine I'm in your shoes because I think a lot of people are in your shoes, right? I think my first choice to bench would be...
See? It's not easy, is it?
I think it would be either Jackson or Gordon. Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible thought process, but like you have Palmer and Isak there. I don't know. That's not a good way to think of it.
Yeah, if I had one of them, then it would make sense, right? If I didn't have Isak, then I play Gordon. If I didn't have Palmer, fine. But I have Palmer and Jackson and Palmer and Isak anyway.
I mean, look, I'm not a good like eliminate Son from my perspective because I'll start him.
It's probably Jackson or Gordon.
Jackson or Gordon, but I don't think dropping Bruno is a terror. Like Crystal Palace away, I don't think that's an easy game.
No.
But he gets chances. I get it.
Freddie says he's benching Gordon because of Isak as Newcastle covering Gordon's poor away form. But the issue is Palmer and Isak are basically 100% owned, both of them now, that I don't gain anything from either of them.
I think you're right. It's Jackson or Gordon.
I don't know,
and it's got to be Jackson, right?
Let's see if he scores tonight, then you're gonna give me a different answer.
Okay, if he scores tonight, are you okay? Let's say this, he blanks tonight, are you benching Jackson? If he scores tonight, are you starting Jackson over Gordon?
I don't know.
Exactly. It doesn't make a difference.
If he scores tonight, I'm more likely to start him. If he doesn't score tonight, I don't think I'm less likely to start him, if that makes sense.
Dude, I agree with Ivo Bozic in the chat. Like, I don't have Bruno. Like, there's a reason I don't have Bruno. Because I thought if I can get away with 35, I felt confident going against him in 36. And if I really, really need him in 37, I can bring him back. So... my answer is I would bench Gordon, Bruno even, because I don't have him. Is that not a good way to think of it?
No, sorry, it's just someone said in the chat that apparently in the press conference, I don't know, I'll have a look for it. The Man United press conference has just been now.
Oh, he's injured.
It says Fernandes is a doubt and Rashford's Ooh. Issue hasn't healed so far. But Fernandes is a doubt. He was in a... Earlier on in the season, he had his leg in a strap and he still played a few days later. So I don't have... It's Bruno or Gordon, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have the perfect answer here because, like, as soon as I mentioned Bruno getting benched, the chat makes very good points. Like, United just need a dodgy penalty, as Lalek says.
Yeah.
He's, you know, getting so many chances. Got two bonus without an attacking return. Like, What the hell?
Yeah, so that's the decision I've got to make this week. And we'll wait and see what Pep says on Edison tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool. Spicy captaincy besides Holland?
Foden.
Over Palmer?
Foden or Palmer?
Yeah, I mean, like, come on. You got to pick one.
Foden.
Yeah, fair.
Probably. It's close. Again, it's so close. The only thing with Chelsea is they play Thursday, Sunday. I just wonder what that turnaround's going to do to us.
Yeah.
And you look at West Ham, have been all over the place, and suddenly when they're playing once a week, they start to look a little bit better.
Yeah. Nice.
Freddie says, if you chase, play Jackson. If not, start Gordon. But I think that ownership's going to be similar this week. Maybe Gordon will be slightly higher, but... Spicy captain, Wood, Isak. Isak's an interesting one.
Mm.
It's just Haaland. Like, I'm not... It's just got to be Haaland for me this week.
I think it's okay to go against Haaland if you're chasing a bit.
Really? I can't.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't... Like, sure. Okay, the thing is, EO's going to be super high.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's going to get... Confidently, I can say he's going to get a brace. Very careful here.
Hang on. Someone clip this.
I take it back.
I can't look past Haaland.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to say we're coming down to the wire. Probably like three more episodes. Maybe two. Three?
Two now.
Two more.
Two after this.
And it's actually really nice to pod in the same time zone for the first time. Like, I'm telling you, man, podding at night in Seoul is not easy because you're so burnt out. But at the same time, I feel like I talked way too much today, so apologies.
No.
No,
it was good.
Dude, it was a pleasure. Pleasure meeting you. I've had such a blast this season doing BQ. You know, we get some lovely messages from the chat as well as DMs here and there. So I appreciate everybody. The cool thing for me, whenever I come to London, which is the second time, I feel like there's a community here that's very embracing. And it's just cool to say I have friends in London, you know.
Many.
So, yeah. It's like some FPL community.
It's nice to have you here.
Yeah. I consider you a good friend of mine, you know, so it's been a pleasure, my friend. It's been a pleasure.
No, it was nice. It was nice. And I hope you enjoy your rest of your stay. You've got some plans tonight at the Chelsea game and then tomorrow at a little gathering. So enjoy yourself. Sadly, I can't make that tomorrow, but I might see you again this evening.
Yeah. Do hit the like button. Please subscribe to FF Scout. Support the channel, guys. Support Harry's channel. And, check
see
out my
next week.
Twitter tonight. I mean, we'll see you tonight, but check out my Twitter tonight because we're coming home with a sunny captaincy haul.
And check out my Twitter when Haaland scores a brace and Son blanks. and you won't be here next week.
yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, man.
Have a good rest of your game week and good luck in game week 36.
Thank you, guys.